is Getting Stoned, the podcast about all things gems and minerals, and I'm your host, Jonna Kreider. Today on Getting Stoned, I have Robert Cleaver here. Robert owns a mine in Australia, and he will share the story of a unique opal called Rays from the Rising Sun. Hey, Robert, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Jonna. Thank you for asking. And I hope that everything's well with you down there after all the deep freeze and so forth.
My God, yes. It took like a whole week of me not doing anything but trying to stay warm with my heaters and everything. But yes, everything's back to normal. It's been in the 60s now. So it's just like I'm in South Louisiana. I think we're in the only corner of it that's not as affected as the rest of the state. There's still like people, you know, fixing their pipes and stuff, but it's not like it is in North Louisiana or even Texas. So, I mean, for me anyways,
you've all gone through a lot down there. We're very sorry.
Yeah. Well, we're survivors. It makes us stronger. That's the way I see that.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So tell me about this opal you were telling me about.
Okay. And, John, I've just I've handwritten some chronology on the opal, so if it's okay with you, I'll just refer to this these handwritten notes I have here. And if I start to go on too much, would you just break in on me and get me back on track and so forth?
Okay.
So the opal. Is an Australian opal. It's a volcanic, and it's 600 carats, and it's known as the rays from the rising sun. It was formed in a vug, which is a gas. You know all this, of course, but which is a gas bubble in volcanic lava or basaltic magma. And it is a vug is an unlined gas bubble in lava, for that matter. And
It did fade out for a moment, but I think it's back on.
Okay. So over the ages, minerals, silica and fluids have seeped into the bubble or the vug and formed into this opal, which is fairly rare. Opal is normally, as you know, formed in sandstone. Mm-hmm. And, that's where most of the opal comes from in the world, certainly in Australia anyway. The opal is owned by a company, private company in Australia called Silver Orchid Proprietary Limited. Mm-hmm. And the way we came in possession of it was that one of the shareholders of that company, when we bought this company, a mining company in Australia, did not have the cash to pay for his shares. So he paid for the shares with the opal.
Cool. That's a cool story right there.
Yeah. So that happened in 1980. And in 1991, I took the opal to the Tucson Gem Show and we exhibited it there. And the reason we were there is our mine manager was selling some gold nuggets that we had mined in Australia. And while I was there, the Smithsonian Mineral Collection Manager asked if I would donate the stone to the Smithsonian and to be placed in the same exhibit space as the Hope Diamond, the Star of Bombay, the Logan Sapphire, and the Hooker Emerald. And ours would be the main opal exhibited in that space.
Well, wow.
Yeah. And so the Smithsonian offered me naming rights and a plaque with our name on as donors, plus a tax write-off for the opal's value in the United States. as an Australian company, we couldn't use the tax write-off, but didn't need it anyway, as we were developing the mine and had plenty of expenses to offset against any sales we were making. And so the fellow from the Smithsonian, Paul Pohat, wanted it pretty badly. So I offered to lend it to them to give them a chance to find a donor. I took it to the Smithsonian in Washington in 1993, and they weren't able to find a donor, so I picked it up from them in 1995. And I was on the way back up to, driving back up from Washington, D.C. to Toronto, and I took it to Christie's Auctioneers in New York to see what they could do with it, if they could put it on the market or whatever, and they said it should be cut and faceted to get the best price. So I couldn't allow it to be cut.
Right.
And I took it home to Australia, and it travels the world with me now, when I'm able to travel, of course.
Yeah.
But
that is just a fascinating story. It sounds like that opal chose you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Yeah, I'm a bit of an opal tragic myself, which I'll tell you at the end of this, once I get through this history of the stone and so forth. And so just last week, the Mars Perseverance rover landed on a predetermined location known as Jezero, which was named after an area in Bosnia-Herzegovina, which has the same geological and topographical features. And one of the first reports that came from Mars was that they had found a VUG right at the rover landing spot. And I had read on your blog about 2 weeks before this discovery about your opal from Mars, your story on the opal from Mars. And it was such a coincidence that I had to make contact with you, and you have been kind enough to take an interest in our stone, which is very kind of you. And so we had the stone valued back in 1991 by a fellow named Barry O'Leary, who is the author of a couple of books on opals. And in that valuation, he describes an instance that he knew of, the only instance he knew of, a stone of this nature, a large volcanic opal like this, that had been donated to the Dresden Vault in Vienna in, I think it was about 1914. And that was with notable jewels of the crown. Well, the crown would have been that of Archduke Ferdinand, who was the heir to the Austrian-Hungarian throne. And he was assassinated by Gavrilo Princip at Serbia in 1914. This assassination triggered the First World War. And I have tried to find out if the opal is still in the vault after it was burgled in 1919. So I can't verify that the stone is actually in the vault now, because they had the Dresden Vault had a huge burglary at the end of the end of 2019, and the assessed value for insurance, I suppose, was over $1 billion worth of rare things, and it was probably priceless, but that's what they apparently were going to try and get from the insurance companies. And just to go back to Barry O'Leary for a moment, he was the author of two books. One was The Field Guide to Australian Opals, and the other is Discover Australian Opals. And Barry made his life in opals, and he loved them so much. He once wrote that the real value of opal lies in being the only gemstone which creates genuine amazement in the human mind. And he valued the stone and he gave us this history. And when I said I was a bit of an opal tragic, I took a crew out from Sydney out into the centre of Australia with a drill rig to an almost unknown opal field way out in the, as I said, in the centre of Australia. And we found the sandstone so hard when we drilled it to get into the opal strips, that it chewed all of our tungsten hardened drill bits to molten metal. And so after we'd been prospecting the sandstone bluffs for a while, for 4 or 5 days, I couldn't see how we could mine the opal without popping or using explosives on the sandstone first. So we pulled out and went our own way. It turns out, subsequent to that, probably in about the mid-80s, this field was called Minterby, and it became the largest black opal field in the world. And I'd walked away from it because I didn't know how we could ever extract the opal from that really hard sandstone. So I walked away, and when I say I'm a tragic, I don't even have a sample of the opal that that was so valuable in the black opal. And so that's kind of my story on the opal. But I'll stop now and ask if you have any questions.
Well, I was just looking at the opal, and I don't know why I'm echoing right here. My signal, that's not good. I was looking at the photo of the opal you sent me, and it is huge. Like, is it bigger than your hand?
It's about the size of a goose egg.
Okay, yeah, it's a pretty big piece. It's beautiful too.
Yeah, it is. It's and there's one feature of it also is that on one angle of the stone, you can see a silhouette of George Washington. There's the curved nose and everything. It's just it's quite a feature of the stone. It's not.
I'm trying to see it.
It's not in the photo I sent you, but it's a. I don't know whether that's what got the Smithsonian excited about it or the color of the stone. Something got them excited though, because they were really keen to get it, and I don't know how keen they'd be to get it now, because the exhibit that they wanted to put it into was completed, I think, in 1995 or 1996. And I guess they filled up all the exhibit places because they didn't have the opal there, so they may have cooled off on it. But anyway, that's what happened with the Smithsonian. And
so when you lent it to the Smithsonian, they exhibited with the Hope Diamond then? While it was on loan?
No, they didn't. No, it wasn't. The exhibit wasn't built yet. I think it was completed in 95 or 96. And by that time, they hadn't been able to find a donor. And so I'd picked it up and brought it back up here because they sort of gave up on it, you know, and it was getting so close, I suppose, to the opening of the new exhibit. Mm-hmm. That they basically said, you know, we can't find anybody to donate it to the Smithsonian. So basically said, you know, we quit. And that's when I went and got it, as I said. So it was a bit disappointing because I would have loved to have seen it in the Smithsonian and have it, you know, on view for everybody in the world.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. So I've still got it, you know. I'm happy to travel around with it. Keeps me excited about the stone. And but we've come to a point now where where I'm getting of an age that it's time for me to start. Well, actually, what we're doing at the moment is we're expanding on this property down in this mine property down in Australia. And I could use some funds from the Opal now because that was its original idea was with the selling the shares. We sold this fellow's shares for the Opal. So now it's I guess it's time to turn it into something we can use for developing or continuing to develop the mine.
So if you were going to sell, I mean, to sell the Opal, how much are you looking to sell it for? Because there might be somebody out there listening who might want to buy it.
Well, I'm looking to sell it to a genuine collector, hopefully, who won't want to see it cut. That's my first thought. Or to a donor who either would want to donate it to the Smithsonian or some other venue so that for the world to see. I'd like to see an offer. The stone was valued in 1991 at $550,000 US. If there's anybody out there that wants to consider buying it, I'd be hard, be pleased to negotiate a deal with them if they're interested.
That sounds awesome. If I had it, I'd snatch it up and keep it as is, but I'm not there yet. But yeah, that's that opal. I like the story behind that opal. Now, what made you name Rays from the Rising Sun?
Well, it was actually named by our shareholder before we did the deal with him, and so we've just carried the name forward. And I'm not sure whether Barry Leary. No, it was our shareholder that gave it the name. That's right. And Barry O'Leary loved it. He said, "Oh yeah," he said, "that suits it very well."
Yeah, that's a
You know, I
beautiful.
mean, everybody, anybody that gets this stone can name it whatever they want, and that's it's not tied to the stone.
So if we get into the advent of space travel to the point where we can go to Mars and mine, do you think like your mining company might may expand to Mars one day, mine opals there? Weren't expecting that question.
Do I think did you say would I, do I think our mining company would go to Mars to mine it? I think I'll be long gone before then, Jonna. I think I'll be brown bread, as they say, before then.
You don't know that. You don't know that. You might, because they're
Well,
getting like SpaceX.
that's true. I can only hope. I wouldn't mind going up there to have a look at it, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for me or a an issue for me. I think I'd love to do it. One of my sons might go up and do it, but at this stage, I don't have any plans to go.
Right. If we ever do get there, I definitely want an opal from Mars.
Yeah. Well, you need to find that billionaire that you were talking about in your blog.
Yeah, Elon Musk, get us some Martian opals and other cool,
Well,
cool
this
stuff.
one was, I mean, by all accounts and by the way it sounds with the opal from Mars and the Vug story and so forth, it sounds as though that opal that you spoke of could have come out of a similar location in a basaltic magma in a Vug, and it also, it also sort of connects with the location of the stone that's been given to the Dresden Vault, because that came from Hungary And I think I mentioned that the name of the landing zone for the rocket, the rover, was Jezera, which is named after an area in Bosnia Herzegovina, and all of those countries back in those days in 1914. There was such a mix-up of stones of countries, I should say, as you probably are aware. You wouldn't know whether Herzegovina was in Hungary or not. And so, but they're all in a pretty central location. And as I said, the reason that Jezera was chosen as the landing place for Perseverance rover was because of the geological structures and the topographical structures in Bosnia Herzegovina. So it was, all round it's been a huge coincidence with the relativity to the stone here and to the bug being found on similar geology to Australia, where this one was found, I guess.
Yeah, pretty cool that it was that's where the rover landed, and you know,
it was. Yep, it's a lovely stone, and so that's basically what I'd like to do. I haven't been trying to market this stone. I've had a couple of, efforts to attract a couple of people that were collectors. One guy in Hong Kong who bought his daughter I think it was a $90 million diamond, and she was about 8 or 9. So I sent him a photograph of it, but I didn't hear back from him. And other than that, I really haven't tried to market this thing, but I think it's time for me to start doing that now. And so, it's very kind of you to take an interest in it. And I'm certainly interested in reading your stories in Clean Technica.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan. So the stuff you write is great.
Oh, thank you. Well, I really hope that Opal finds a good home who will not cut it, and that you definitely get the funds to take care of your mining company and expand.
Thanks, John.
And I really find the story behind that Opal, like how it went to the gym show, and then the Smithsonian was interested, and it went on loan, and it has a fascinating story. So it's exciting to kind of be a part of that Opal story and see what the future holds for it. Maybe somebody out there will buy it. Maybe Elon will come and buy it.
I think he's, who knows?
He'll buy it and take it to Mars.
That'd be nice. I'm a big fan of his too, I might tell you. I think he's a genius, that man. He's wonderful.
Yeah, he is. He's got a good heart too.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. And what a success story. And he works hard for it. So good luck to him.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, good luck to you and that Opal too. And do you have any questions for me before we sign off?
No, but I'd like to keep in touch with you from time to time, because I do read some stuff that pricks my imagination a bit.
Okay.
And
I'd like to
keep in touch with you from time to time, just the odd comment here and there.
Yeah, that's fine. You have my email.
I do. Okay. That's good. Well, in terms of questions, no, I think, hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, you just faded out of the picture there. I just turned it back on. Okay. So listen, Jonna, thanks very much for giving me, this is my first ever, as you probably gather, because I had that trouble getting onto the program. So thanks very much for putting me onto this. It's a new experience for me, and I do appreciate it, and I appreciate your interest.
Well, I appreciate it, Robert. Thank you for sharing the stone with me. You have a great day, okay?
Okay, Jonna, and thanks, and keep safe down there. I hope things get better down there for you.
I think they will. I'm staying positive.
Good on you. Okay, thanks a lot.
If you're enjoying getting stoned, then allow me to invite you to join my community of gym and mineral enthusiasts on Patreon. For only $1 a month, you get early access to new episodes of Getting Stoned, free goodies such as my free guide to starting your own mineral collection, free exclusive Patreon-only content, and a forever discount for anything you might find yourself wanting in my online store. Check it out below.